I have no idea how long this episode is going to be.
All right.
I have notes, and I literally have... these are the worst notes I've ever had.
Perfect.
So, it's going to be a real scattershot. It's for a thing I haven't even looked at, and I went in a wiki hole, and I now have something to talk about, but it's also something I know nothing about in general, so this is going to be a real one. Hello, and welcome to Codex. It's a casual lore podcast. My name is Phil.
I am Logan.
And today is going to be an episode that I'm a little nervous to do because I know nothing about this property. And it is the character and, I guess, general surroundings and origins of Freddy Fazbear. Do you know anything about Freddy Fazbear?
I don't. Is this a Five Nights at Freddy's thing?
This is a Five Nights at Freddy's episode.
Okay. We've now exceeded my knowledge of this topic.
Perfect. That's literally where I was 4 hours ago.
Okay.
I have some stuff to talk about. But before we get into that, let's do bright spots. What is your bright spot today, Ooh, Logan?
You go first.
Oh God. Okay. My bright spot is, I think I cut this out of one of the other episodes we did, but, I got the Ambernic
thing. Yeah.
And I have been playing Metroid Zero Mission for the last couple days. And that is, you know what? I don't think enough people talk about that Metroid thing. It's real good. It's fun.
I've heard that once or twice.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I have not played... I'm not a Metroidvania person at all, really. Whenever I get to those games, it just feels like it sure would be nice to be able to double jump from the beginning. But this is a good one. It's very simple, and I've only got lost like once or twice, so...
The classics are classic for a reason.
Yeah.
I guess... Oh, we'll go with my squirrel pup. Finally emerging from the nest. So for those that don't know, I have a squirrel friend that lives on the property and comes and hangs out with me, and I feed them walnuts. And they gave birth, probably 8 or 10 weeks ago.
Okay.
And we are now seeing the little one out roaming around occasionally.
Oh, fun. I love that. Little new friend to start feeding walnuts.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. We have two baby bunnies who have now just become part of the family at this point. Like whenever we are out in the backyard, they are there and they are becoming less and less afraid. And we are trying not to engage because I would prefer my son not thinking he can pick up every bunny in the wilderness, but it's getting harder and harder every day.
We are now up to at least two squirrels. There might be two babies. I'm not sure. She had three last year. So there's at least two squirrels, three rabbits, three birds' nests now, although I think one of them is now empty, but one is also freshly built. And then, a salamander. I have a salamander now.
Okay.
In the yard.
Okay.
Just in a hole up near the house.
You have confirmed. Yeah, okay. You have confirmed that it's a salamander now. Last we talked, it was possibly a snake.
Yeah, it is. I am quite certain it is some flavor of salamander now.
Okay.
Or maybe a newt. I think those are technically under the... I don't know. It's an amphibian with legs.
It's a nondescript lizard.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Let's get into this. So you know nothing about Five Nights at Freddy's.
I know it is a horror franchise, probably.
Yep.
It seems made for streamer reactions.
Yeah.
And that's 100% of my knowledge, I believe.
Okay. That's kind of what I knew about this as well. Like, basically it's like a horror game about animatronics that want to get you. I was surprised to discover it's a point and click game.
Oh,
so yeah. You, at least in the first couple, you are just a security officer in a security office, and you have to monitor the security cameras of these free roaming animatronics and turn on security doors and stuff to make sure they don't come get you. But that is the gameplay for the early ones.
And what are the newer ones?
I'm not sure about the newer ones. I had to basically stop myself at some point because there was first person navigation. There is, like, the timeline goes all the way up to 2035. So there's weird shenanigans going on in the future. Yeah. And okay. it is much more robust than I thought it was. But it started as a Kickstarter game in 2014. So it was a indie point and click survival game. Came out in 2014, and it has been scaring kids on PC, console, and mobile kind of ever since then. And yeah, the streamer reactions, I think, is kind of where I had seen it really pop up. And then hearing about all the 11-year-olds getting into the hottest spooky game with jump scares. It is a full-blown franchise at this point. I think there's 4 main games, and then there's several spinoffs. There's a novel series, and I forgot that this happened, but there is a 2023 film adaptation.
Huh. Did that see, like, release? Like, theatrical release?
I think so. I remember seeing a poster for this movie. But they all have different timelines. Like, they're all different adaptations and everything. Let's see. Box office reception. Net profit, 161. What do we got for a budget here? 20 million. Look at that.
That's a lot of money.
That is a successful film.
Huh.
Oh, and whoa. Josh Hutcherson of Hunger Games fame and Matthew Lillard were in this movie. Huh. Yeah. So, yeah. The Five Nights at Freddy's a general lore. I think the thing we'll dig in here is I wanted this from the angle of who is the titular Freddy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that basically turned into, well, what's the timeline of all of this and what's going on here? Because there's one specific thing I read about this when I was just Googling around for a bunch of different topics that made me want to do this one. But before we get to the thing that jumped out at me, I do want to kind of go through a brief timeline of at least the things that we care about in the Five Nights at Freddy's situation. Yeah, so Freddy is an animatronic in the canonical sense of what we expect an animatronic from, like, Chuck E. Cheese to be. It's mostly just a robot with a skeleton on the inside and covered in cloth and fabric and stuff. He's kind of a spooky looking bear. He's got, you know, 1970s anthropomorphic bear vibes to him. And he has a black top hat to keep it classy, and a black bow tie. He is one of, like, 4/5 mascots of this band that is very much based on, like, the Rockefeller explosion, including Bonnie the Bunny, Chica the Chicken, and Foxy the Pirate Fox. There's also an older or slightly different version of Freddy who is called Golden Freddy by the community and maybe by the game, and he's just Freddy but gold, a different one.
How large are these? Are these, like, relative to their animal co-parts, or...?
They're all largely mostly bigger than human size. Like, the animatronics, to, like, some degree, there's, like, different flavors of them, but one of the types of animatronics in these games can house a human on the inside. So they're kind of like exosuit sized bears and animals.
All right. Teddy Bear Gundam.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
It's like that Matt Damon movie Elysium, but it's a bear.
I think that was actually the tagline of the second game.
Oh, that makes sense. So yeah, the whole thing started because there were these two dudes, Henry Emily, which is one name, and William Afton, and they made a robotics company And then they thought, what the heck? We have a robotics company and this bear that can sing and dance. Let's make a family diner. So they made Fred Bear's Family Diner in the probably late 70s. And then in 1983, they open another restaurant that is called Freddy Fazbear's Pizza. And that closes in 1985. And then in 1987, it reopens with different animatronics and then closes again within a couple of weeks. For the reasons that make this a horror game.
Because the pizza's terrible.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't really get into that, but it probably is. I think it's safe to assume that the pizza is terrible. So there's kind of two types of animatronics in these games. There's the classic animatronics, which are the one I was mentioning before, that are like what we would expect animatronics to be in our kind of world. The kind of difference there is that the suits have some level of visual identification and they have active servos in their limbs. So they have to free roam at night, because otherwise if they sat still for too long, they would seize up and wouldn't be good puppets.
I don't think that's how servos work.
We'll
run with it. Are they programmed? Or
kind of?
Is that just like a question that doesn't get asked? Like, we just assume there's some...
There is some level of programming. Like, they have like... They are singing a song, like they have like your classic Chuck E. Cheese thing where they sing a song, do a dinner show, and everything. I think the free roam mode is more just this is their powered off nighttime state where they walk around.
Is that like a night at the museum kind of thing? Like, are they designed to be free roaming? I guess maybe that's my question, because that seems out of sort from the Chuck E. Cheese vibe, where those things do not
move
from their assigned location.
Yeah, I think they're mostly supposed to be locked in rooms and just pacing back and forth like caged animals so that their limbs don't seize up. But obviously that is not necessarily the case long term.
Yeah.
The second level of animatronics in these games are called toy animatronics, and these are, I think, the later, like, Five Nights at Freddy's, like, 3 and 4, maybe. And these are new and improved. They are plastic, and they very much look like creepy ventriloquist dummies. Also, like, slightly smaller, but still, like, human-ish sized. And this one, and now we can kind of dig into why this is a horror game. They are also loaded with facial recognition systems, and those are connected to criminal databases to make sure that no predators get into these restaurants. Yeah.
That's a choice.
Okay. Now we're going to talk about why.
Okay.
So the Fredbear's Family Diner that was created and opened in the late 70s, early 80s. It had two of them. So it had Freddy, the original Freddy, and then it had the bunny, Bonnie, I think their name is. And basically they were just like the small prototype show. They did stuff. And unfortunately what happened was the daughter of Henry Emily, her name is Charlotte Emily, and unfortunately, such it's two first names.
Henry Emily.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Very difficult to force out of your face hole.
Yep, yeah. His daughter is killed. Somehow, mysteriously killed. And comes across another animatronic that we haven't really talked about at all, who is called the Puppet. And we will leave that for now. We'll go to
let that one dangle. Huh?
Yep, we're gonna let that one dangle for a little bit. Then we're gonna go to Freddy Fazbear's Pizza Restaurant, which opened in 1983. So a couple years probably after the Fredbear's Family Diner. And this is kind of the big launch of this animatronic band. So this is where you have all four of them. You have Freddy the Bear, Bonnie the Bunny, Chica the Chicken, and Foxy the Pirate Fox. The only one who gets a specific type of animal there, which is fun.
Do we know their instruments?
I know Freddy is the singer, and I think Bonnie is a guitarist, but I don't remember.
I would have put the rabbit on drums.
Oh,
can you imagine the double kick out of a rabbit?
Oh, that's true. I don't know if they're that kind of band, unfortunately. Although, I guess, like, where this story goes is maybe they are a bit more of a metal band after all.
I feel like any murder animatronic band is by default a metal band.
Just generally a metal band. Yeah. You know, you're not wrong. So in 1983 is this event called The Bite of 1983. So someone's having a birthday party like you do in one of these restaurants. And you're having some fun. Maybe a kid's getting bullied a little bit because they're not very good at skee ball. And the kids bully him into putting his head right into Freddy's mouth to get a nice birthday smooch. And it bites him. The critter just full-blown bites him.
I mean, okay. What's the like bite force on a Fredbear?
I don't think it is soft.
Hmm.
So this
seems like an odd design choice to make up front.
Well, yeah. So this happens and it shuts down the Family Diner. So the first restaurant that opened in the late 70s, they shut that one down because it bites a kid.
Yep.
As you do.
I mean, they probably could have just removed the bear, but
well, you know,
insurance is maybe tough to get after you have an incident.
Like yeah. That. So then they have the second restaurant open, which is Freddy Fazbear's Pizza. And in 1985, 2 years after it's been open, there is a thing that is referred to in the newspapers, in some of the like Easter eggy things in the first game, and then it comes up. It's basically like the big focus of the second one, and it is called the Missing Children Incident, which is foreboding.
Interesting that they chose to invoke the name of the bear that murdered a kid a decade ago in their new restaurant.
Yep.
I feel like some amount of asking for it is taking place here.
A little bit, you know? Like they're trying to make a franchise out of this bear. It just so happens that, you know, it chomped a kid.
Not to victim blame too much, but yeah.
So
we named it, like, Freddy's Murder Shack.
Yeah.
Plus people would take their kid there.
That's true. But listen, you couldn't just call it like Bonnie Bear's Pizza Shack, you know? It's you got to have Freddy. He's the big guy.
It's a recognizable name. You can't just leave that kind of branding out on the table.
Yes.
You can't pay for that kind of publicity.
So, in 1985, 2 years after this restaurant has been open, two local children were lured into a back room and then disappeared. Surveillance footage from the actual restaurant show that William Afton, the co-founder of the pizzeria and robotics company, lured them in there by dressing up as an animatronic, like climbing inside one of the suits, the types that let you climb inside of them. And then the kids kind of disappeared. You never heard from them.
Don't like that.
Yeah. Then there were further details that revealed that five total children were connected to the missing children incident, and the co-founder was charged for it. None of those kids were ever found, and families stopped returning to the restaurant like you do. You know, it's a fool me once, you know, bite my kid once, shame on you. Fool me twice, let five kids disappear.
Get fooled again. Yeah.
Yep. So it basically, the pizzeria closed after about a year and no one would buy it out. And then there's just some weird details. It's like, maybe we should look into this a little bit more, but you know, classic police response. Parents started reporting after those five kids disappeared that there was blood and mucus around the eye and mouth of the four mascots. That's it. No further discussion.
That, sure. Yep. Don't check on that. That seems fine.
Yep. And then later, so 2 years later, again, Freddy Fazbear's Pizza is reopened with those, the animatronics that have the facial recognition and criminal database connection, because, you know, a lot of bad shit's happened at this pizzeria already. We got to make sure that, you know, nothing else happens.
So it's in like an accountability rehabilitation move.
Yep. And unfortunately,
I bet this goes great. This goes swell.
Unfortunately, there's another incident, and I think 5 more kids disappear. And then guess what? There's an event called the Bite of 87, which is about what you would expect. It munches him again. I think this time it kills the kid, though.
Oh, the first kid made it out?
I think so. So here, maybe a little bit of a sidebar about Five Nights at Freddy's and their wiki response. It's not a great wiki. It's a little difficult to dig around, and the timeline isn't super clear on some of this stuff. So what we'll be talking about today with like Freddy and kind of like the origins of all of this is, I mean, I don't think the guy who made this game stepped into it with a lore Bible ready to go. So there's some gaps and some issues.
We won't hold it to that standard.
Yeah, we won't look into it too much, but yeah, there are some confusing things where every once in a while some people think that there was only one bite, and sometimes there's two, and there's a whole theories and speculations section on almost every page that I came across.
Perfect. So we could do this we'll have to revisit this maybe eventually.
Yeah.
Once as this continues, because they're still making these, right?
I think so. I think like development has switched over, but yes.
It seems like just a cash cow.
Yeah. I mean, there's also two different wikis. So this is also resources farmed from all of them.
Perfect.
So it's a real amalgamation.
Real hodgepodge of.
Yeah. So the kids disappear, and now we're going to return back to that original one that I left dangling, the puppet. So the puppet is like a animatronic. If you imagine the masked spirit in Spirited Away, the like white mask with the red triangles under its eyes, like mash that with like a Mr. Mime almost. That's the puppet.
They made that on purpose, huh?
Yep. So that's the puppet, and this is the part. This is where I started realizing that maybe we should talk about this. So the puppet goes out into the rain because Charlotte Emily, the co-founder's daughter, is laying there dying and or dead because she was murdered by William Afton, the other co-founder. And the puppet gets water on it, and it starts to short circuit, and here it is, holding little Charlotte Emily in its hands. And then the puppet is possessed by Charlotte Emily. Just ghost right into the bones.
Ooh.
So there's some fun supernaturalness in here. Turns out the reason that these are all haunted and terrible is that the puppet gathers the souls of all of the kids that were murdered, and then, because those kids were crammed inside each one of the Five Nights at Freddy's animatronics, which is why there's blood and mucus coming from them. I don't know why mucus, but the blood for sure makes sense. Then transfers their souls into the actual skeletons of the Five Nights at Freddy's critters.
Rad.
So they're walking around at night with their servo things going, and it's kind of hard to tell if they are like completely possessed by them, or if the reason that they just get mad and jump scare you all the time is because they respond fine to kids, but because they are kids who are murdered by an adult, they just assume that any adult that wanders in here is going to be someone that I will murder, and eventually I will get revenge for my slaying.
Yeah, that seems fair.
You know, ghost logic.
Yeah.
So the kids are trapped inside there, and then after a whole load of these games of you playing as you play as William's son at one point, you play as a night security guard, all of that, you last the titular Five Nights at Freddy's, and then you last the sixth night at Freddy's, which, you know, surprise, there's an extra night. And then there's a seventh night, which like allows you to do weird things with the AI, and they kind of unlock all these different endings, and there's all these mini games that you play, and you end up going through a series of mini games and releasing, like having this like show of releasing the kids' souls, and they finally leave the bodies of the animatronics. But before they do that, they do attack William Afton when he returns back to the original Freddy Fazbear's Pizza.
That feels like it's on him, for being fair. Maybe don't go there if you're that guy.
So his whole deal is, well, maybe someday we'll talk about this more, but his whole deal was he made the animatronics with this one guy. He murdered that guy's daughter. That didn't go well for him. He was arrested, but I guess like never seemingly charged, because within 10 years he is out there making knockoff versions or like a sister restaurant to the Freddy Bears situation where they're circus themed, and then does that whole thing. And then he's like, oh man, you know, I really peaked with those original ones, so I need to go back and get some parts and really need to go back and get those guys so I can finally finish my magnum opus. So he goes back to the original pizza restaurant, and those five ghosts, they're just ready and waiting for him in their capital W withered form, which is also incredible. And then they attack him, and he climbs inside one of those spring suits, the ones that you have to wind up and you can't get them wet, or they kind of tense up and squish you. And he's hiding, and he thinks he got away. And then, because he was laughing so hard because he got away, he somehow managed to do one of those like evil guy spit laughs and got the inside of the machine slightly wet, and all those springs uncoiled and just squished him real good. And then he died inside his own suit, and all of those little souls were released into the air, flew away, and everything was peaceful and nice again. Except he still haunts that suit, and now he's called Spring Trap, and I guess he haunts more locations. Perfect.
Yeah, okay. This has got some real middle school energy to it. And
it really does.
Yeah.
It's very fun. It, like, continues to, like, that's, like, basically 1993. And then the rest of it is like, oh, yeah, there's this whole, like, circus theme one. And then, guess what? Could you imagine they made a horror-themed version of this that's, like, actually, like, Fright Fest or something, and there's AR missions, there's evil, like, AI versions of these creatures, there's the fox at some point is, like, so busted that he just decides to, like, put other pieces of other broken ones onto him, so he's all messed up. There's some good spooky creature design in their animatronics, and it is, like, very low-hanging fruit, because all animatronics are just inherently spooky, but it's fun middle school stuff.
Do we know if the soul capturing ability was intentional? Did they build these things specifically, or at least with the intention of trapping souls in them, or is that some kind of like I don't know, Lovecraftian side effect to the story?
I think it's like a Lovecraftian side effect, but. And I guess like this is kind of the weirder supernatural twist, is that it becomes known that the souls are in the animatronics, and at one point the William guy goes back to try to harvest their essence to like put them in other robots to give them life. So like it doesn't start there, but I think it definitely goes into the weird.
Yeah.
Weird area.
Is this puppet fellow in Fortnite? That is my other question.
Oh, he has to be, right?
It seems like that should have happened by now.
Oh, yeah, he has to be. Yes? Maybe? Someone has remade Five Nights at Freddy's in Fortnite, which I think is equally as funny to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has to be in here. Yeah. There he is.
Okay,
good. There are screenshots, so either someone has mocked him up to look this way, or
Or just legitimately in there.
Yeah. Huh. Also, I don't know how much of this is all of these videos just seem like they're scams. So it also could be that it's not real.
Yeah, there's no way to know what canon is
anymore. Yeah. Yeah. The fun thing about a lot of this is just scrolling down the incredibly crazy like versions of each of these robots. So there's just like a billion different versions of them. Like one of them, like there's a whole park that is called the glam rock ones.
Okay.
So that they're all like your classic glam rock looking dudes. It's Kiss, but animatronics.
Gotcha. So they're doing like skin packs.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like Nightmare Freddy, which is from Five Nights at Freddy 4. And he's Freddy, but he has razor teeth and also smaller versions of himself on his body, which is fun. They're all over the place. And I appreciate how just out there it goes. Like St. Patrick's Day 2020 event, Shamrock Freddy. Love that.
Yeah, this seems like a thing that's definitely not made for me, but I absolutely see the appeal.
Yeah.
And it seems like a good platform for that kind of thing that they have made here.
Yeah. I don't know if I will ever actually play one of these games, but I just love that. Part of the reason I was even interested in doing this is it's so fun to me that there is an entire, like, it's not just like there's a couple games. Like, there are games, there's an entire trilogy of novels, there are comic books, there's a like Hollywood film with actors you have heard of it in. There's just all of this stuff, and I know nothing about this besides what Freddy looks like from like an app icon.
Yeah, it seems very much like an excellent vehicle for fan fiction.
Yes.
You can just kind of bolt on whatever your specific vibe is into this machine, and you can kind of make it work.
Yeah. And I appreciate how much of it is just like, I feel like if you have had a single birthday party at a Chuck E. Cheese and you are now 10, 15 years removed from that experience and have had fear enter your life, it's completely obvious that that is what is happening. You know, like you look and you're like, oh yeah, this would make a perfect horror movie. Like yeah. this is awful. Just like in normal life, like just imagine if the lights were flickering and these things were just roaming around.
Yeah. I don't know if I will ever do this either. Maybe I will boot this up one night just to say that I did, but
just to give it a go.
Is there like a, I'm assuming you won't know the answer to this, but I wonder if there is like a recommended play order. Cause when you come to a property this big, sometimes it doesn't necessarily make sense to go like in order of release or starting with the most recent.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I haven't seen that. I as part of trying to figure out the actual timeline of when the restaurants were opened, I went down a path of what is the chronological order of these, and it got kind of complicated, and a lot of it is like these characters appear in hallucinations or there are like 8-bit style mini games depicting events that happened in the past. So it's rough.
Time's a fickle mistress.
Yeah.
In the Five Nights at Freddy's universe.
It truly is. I was mostly just baffled that it, like, the timeline is like 1983 is generally when it starts. And then you just scroll down the page and it's like, oh, March 2035.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, okay. They just kept
the bears
making
got laser eyes.
Yeah. They just kept making these murder robots, huh?
Yeah. That, you know, I'm finding it harder and harder to argue with a storyline like that, given the humanity's propensity for making murder robots.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong. So yeah, that is Five Nights at Freddy's, at least the 80s and 90s timeline. And well, I don't know, maybe I will dig into this and see what's up with Glitch Trap and the Mimic and all of these fun things. But it's nice to at least be able to have some level of understanding of what this huge property is that I literally had no interest in engaging with.
Yeah, that's enough people like it that it's clearly striking a chord, but I was never going to expend the energy to find out why.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you did that for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It is mostly jump scares, which is kind of my general thought on this, but there is actual, like, I don't know if I would call it deep lore, but there is definitely lore going on here when I very much thought it was just walking around a place and having an animatronic bear jump at you.
Maybe this ends with you and I creating the definitive Five Nights at Freddy's wiki.
Oh my God. We should do that. Just sit down.
Just going to abandon the podcast and yep. Just be wiki writers for hire.
There's already two wikis, and I feel like we could make a good third if we just mashed them together.
Yeah.
I know nothing about this besides what I read on the wikis, which means that I am perfectly equipped to make a wiki.
If there's one thing we are learning, it is that wikis are more sparse than we anticipated when we started this project.
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly that... I love a good fan project. The reason that this podcast can even exist is because of fan projects. But I sure do feel like I should start getting like a fandom account so I can just copy edit some of these, because it's rough out there. All right. That is a short and sweet episode on the Five Nights at Freddy's early timeline, I guess. I mean, if you liked this or thought this was interesting at all, tell a friend, rate a review, us podcast player of choice, stuff like that. GordonHamburger.com is the site where you can go to read reviews, find the links to our Twitch and YouTube. We have a playthrough of, I guess, like the first half of Perfect Dark up there now on YouTube.
Yeah,
and we'll probably be streaming that again pretty soon, I think. I've never played Perfect Dark, so it was fun to just like sit down and see some of the weird stuff that I didn't know existed in that game as a person who thought it was just a spiritual successor to GoldenEye. That there's some weird stuff in there.
There's some weirdness in there. There's some president clones and some grays.
Yeah,
it goes places.
It goes places, and I mostly just drove a hover bike around the last half of that episode. So, That's good stuff. Go watch that, and then we'll have the second one up pretty soon. And yeah, if you have another piece of world building or lore or properties that you'd like us to look into, go to the contact page on the site. I mean, like I said, Five Nights at Freddy's was not a thing that I would have necessarily thought about doing, and we have big lists of stuff to explore. But I mean, if there's something like this that you think might be interesting from two people who don't engage with it at all, like, shoot us a message. I'd be happy to look into it. And without further ado, I have been Phil.
And I've been Logan.
Awesome. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week with another Codex entry.